But it also says that there is no need for a sun or a moon in heaven, because the only light that heaven needs is the glory of God and the Lamb. I thought over and over again about what that must be like. The sun and the moon are a certain kind of light. We see evidence of it right now coming in the windows. But the Bible and John describes the light of the glory of God as a distinctive and a different kind of light. It is a light that shines day and night and night and day, that gives evidence of the presence of God, that gives evidence of the glory of God. The best way that I've come to imagine the glory shining of the Lord in the heavens for day and night is a light that's not just seen, but it's a light that is felt. It is a light that envelops and encompasses and wraps around and gives a sense of comfort and security and relationship and possession and ownership in a way that only that glory of the Lord could show. It's speculation, but I think it has a good character quality of God in that welcoming atmosphere. And then to imagine that distinctive kind of light, which is the glory of God and of the Lamb, shining across this magnificent city that is covered in all of the jewels of all of the beauty that you could imagine. And then that light shining into those jewels and refracting out the multiple colors that they would refract out, and shining back across heaven and shining again across heaven. And it is almost more than you can comprehend as you imagine that beautiful place of God. Not only is it beautiful to see and behold, but to imagine that when you spend day and night and day dwelling in the presence of God, dwelling in the glory of God, dwelling in the shining of the light of the Lamb, that there is this sense of being with God. Here we are in the earth in a separated relationship with God. We have our security and our beliefs and our relationship, but it's not the same. It's interrupted by the hindrances of this world. To be in glory forever and ever and not be interrupted, because it says there in several different places, no abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters. It says at the end, there is no abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the book of life. There is this environment that is beautiful to see and beautiful to feel and pure in all of its ways, because it is inside the city, New Jerusalem. It's beautiful to behold. And it's also blessed. It's blessed because the Lord is there. And as God intended from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were put on the earth to have fellowship with God, He never stopped having His promised desire to be fulfilled. And the end of His days, the blessing is to be with God forever and forever. To be able to worship Him with all those ancestors who have gone to believe in Him. To be able to love Him unconditionally. To receive the love of Jesus unconditionally. And spend the rest of forever with Him. God gives that picture. God gives that vision to John. John writes it down. Delivers it through the ages to you and me. So that we can know that we know that we know that this is the end of our life. This is the end of our days. If we make a relationship right with Jesus. And so the question would be for the world, and the question would be for you and for me and all of our and relationship to us. How can we ensure that we'll be there? Well, it's really quite simple. It's about a relationship that's established with the Son. It's about coming to the place in our life where I admit that I'm a sinner, that I can't do anything about my sin, that I can't get my name written in the book of life because of my achievements or my accomplishments or anything good that I have done. The only way that I can get my name written in the book of life is by coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Jesus has already determined to forgive us of our sins by His work of the cross and the resurrection. But it's not good enough that He just did that work. There is the matter of deciding to accept the work of Jesus into our hearts and into our life in a personal and meaningful way. It's really quite simple, and yet it isn't, because it's difficult for us to admit that we're sinners. It's difficult for us to admit that we've done anything wrong, that we have severed our relationship with God. And so it's really difficult until it's not. And we come to that place where there is no other place to go. There's no other room to move, and there's no other way other than to admit that I need Jesus. And Jesus has already agreed to be in your life. And so as we come today to think of this matter of heaven and imagine what it would be like and even see and know what it would be like, it's important to ask yourself the question, am I prepared to go there? Have I settled the matter of a relationship with Jesus so that at the end of my day, the book will be open and my name will be found there and beside my name written, forgiven, welcome into the new Jerusalem forever and forever? For many of us here today, the answer is yes. And this becomes a message of affirmation and a promise for the life that you secured at some point earlier in your life. But it also becomes a warning and a reminder to others that you know and I know that are not secured and are not ready to be in that place called heaven. For others here today, there is that hesitation of I'm not sure, and there's that pause of making sure that it's right. By making sure that it's right, it's simply saying, I believe what Jesus said he was about, and I want to believe him in my heart, and I invite him into my life so that I can guarantee that I'll get to see this beautiful city one day. It's big, bigger than we can imagine. It's beautiful with all of its magnificence and glory. And it's blessed because Jesus is there forever and forever.